Welcome to Startup Success, the podcast for startup founders and investors. Here, you'll find stories of success from others in the trenches as they work to scale some of the fastest growing startups in the world. Stories that will help you in your own journey. Startup Success starts now.
Welcome to Startup Success. I'm very excited to have Jamie Seglars, the founder and CEO of Guild Talent, with us today. Reason being, we keep hearing so much about hiring from our startup founder community, and I know that's a very important topic here in 2021. So I wanted to invite Jamie on the show, and I'm thrilled to have him. Welcome, Jamie.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
It's great to see you. To start, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Guild Talent? I know about all the exciting work you guys are doing, but I think the listener community would love to hear some details.
Sure. So in general, I've been in recruiting in the Bay Area and the Valley for 12 or 13 years now. Guild Talent started 2 years ago. We're a boutique executive search firm that focuses on leadership hiring largely for Series A and B companies. My personal focus is on operations and finance recruiting. I have a partner that does a lot of product and marketing work, but in general, leadership team buildouts is what we do. And indeed, 2021 is pretty crazy right now. The market's doing some wild stuff.
That is so true. And I keep, you know, leadership hiring, it seems to be such a area of challenge for so many of the startup founders I talk to. Give me your insights on what's happening right now with the hiring landscape for startups. What are you seeing the challenges that people are facing and what's going on to cause all this challenge that everybody's talking about?
In general, I think what has happened as it relates to sort of like the broader economic climate and hiring is there was a lot of trepidation last year, both with companies that were hiring as well as VCs that were deploying money. Or they were not hiring and they're not deploying money last year. And this year, the sort of levy has broke. And there's now a bunch of companies that are playing catch up and hiring, as well as VCs deploying money, which is then allowing companies to hire even more. As it relates to recruiting, the way that that has sort of shifted hiring is that companies' forecasts have changed. And so who they need to hire onto their teams has evolved. But also the way you'd go about hiring if you're hiring now fully remote versus just in the Bay Area, for instance, is going to change sort of like the demographic of people you'd be reaching out to, the way you'd go about a recruiting project to try and attract someone that's remote versus in your geography. So all of the things sort of play into it. The overarching thing that is happening in recruiting is that it's just really, really busy. You know, all of the trepidation from COVID and the shelter in place has gone away, and everyone and their brother seems to be out trying to build out their teams, but they're sort of doing so in what is now a really competitive market, along with the sort of evolution of should I hire remote or local and all that sort of stuff.
Wow, that sounds complex. You know, that you've got this, not only we've got to make up for not hiring in 2020, but also, yes, the whole remote or do you hire local? What's going on with that? Because that sounds like it would be a confusing piece to the puzzle.
Yeah. I mean, in general, I think that, you know, when the history books get written, this whole shelter in place thing will have just been one giant social experiment. And I'm personally fascinated to see where the whole thing is going to, you know, where the dust is going to settle. I think that probably 6 months ago, we hit the apex of everyone hiring remote. And now you start to see a little bit more conversation about people hiring in the office and getting ready to go back to the office. And I think that what's going on with it as it relates to remote is companies are just sort of figuring out what their own path forward is going to be and what they want the future of their company to look like. Our job in recruiting is not to push them into one bucket or the other, but, you know, be supportive depending on like how they plan on building their company. What I was alluding to earlier is that, you know, if you have a small targeted market of people that you want to be looking at for a role in the Bay Area, that's different than the sort of approach that you'd need to like identify who the right players would be for your role across the country, right? And so as companies are thinking about growing their teams, that's just like one of the million things that's going to play into it is like, should we hire the best across the country and have them be remote? And it's going to be dependent on where they want to, whether the team's going to be remote or virtual or in the office over the next couple of years or back to the office.
I like how you said that as an executive search, you know, consultant, your role isn't to push them to one way or the other. It's to work with them on what they have decided is the best path forward for them. I think that's a really important thing to point out, because I could see where you wouldn't want to be swayed. Right. You'd want to, it would be a unique situation. And then your role is to help them with the path that they've decided to take.
Yeah. I mean, so providing optionality and giving them insights into like what the market is going to bear and what we're seeing across our other clients helps sort of shape their answer and sort of how to approach things. Mm-hmm. And that's true, not just, you know, should we hire in San Francisco or wherever your office is versus virtual. But the same thing is true as it relates to like candidate identification and personas in general. So an easy sort of way that we approach candidate calibration at the beginning of a process is we sort of think about it in a couple of different quadrants of personas that CEO would potentially be wanting to hire. And it's going to be a combination of seniority, the sort of quintessential head of this or head of that is like the default bucket that most titles fall into if you're not sure whether this is going to be a director or senior director or a VP or even C-suite. And so when you're looking at this sort of ambiguously titled director level candidate, we can present candidates that are a little bit more senior or a little bit more junior. And for roles that are pretty cross-functional in nature, do you want someone that has a little bit more of this domain experience or that domain experience? And at the beginning of the process, our job isn't to force a CEO or a founder into like, this is exactly the profile that you need to hire, or this is exactly the geography that we should be looking in. Our job is to just sort of like bring a comprehensive overview of the market to them so that we can help them make an informed decision. Because ultimately every company is different and what they need is different. And so our job is like to help them understand the market and then to figure out what the right fit is going to be with them. And like, you know, I certainly have my opinions on how I view the recruiting process and like what we see as it relates to different profiles and what works and what doesn't work, but not every company is the same. So it's impossible to just sort of have a blanket.
I think that's so important, the unique, you know, approach for each company. So it sounds like, too, it would be very helpful to have, you know, your expertise as kind of a sounding board as they make these decisions. So that being said, could you walk us through your process when you're working with a client on how you help them come to these decisions?
Oof. I don't know that we're going to have enough time on the podcast to get through all of it.
Just kind of high level, because I think it would be interesting to hear, you know, kind of what you point out to them and what, you know, is important to keep top of mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that backing into the start of any project by first identifying like what is going on with the business right now that has us having this conversation that has this role even open is a first start. Like, what is the acute problem that this role would solve for in the team to begin with? And then you're also obviously going to be looking as much as you can to the next 6 or 12 months and sort of where the business is going to be going. And then trying to figure out, you know, where the gaps in the company are going to evolve into, not just now, but as the company grows, right? So there's a pretty simple needs analysis that you could do. And, you know, any CEO that's going to be hiring for his team is going to have a pretty good or at least a decent pulse on like how the team and the skill sets are going to evolve and where the gaps are going to be. And they work with their investors and their advisors to help figure that out. There's a little bit of sort of a dynamic that goes into personality traits and team culture and seniority that's going to be a little bit more ambiguous. And that's, you know, if you go through a DISC assessment or something like that, and you know, what sort of personality traits or characteristics are going to be additive to the team and which ones are going to be toxic. You know, if you have three super, super outgoing, opinionated people, it's probably not going to be a good idea to add a fourth person that is also hyper opinionated and someone maybe it's a little bit more middle of the road. And so those different things are going to get added into the process at different times, depending on, you know, where the founder is through their evolution and sort of identifying what the need is within the company and what the right fit from a personality standpoint is going to be, where they need to fall on the leadership continuum. And we work with some companies that call us and say like, I need to hire a COO, and I haven't the foggiest clue what I need, but I just know that I need it. Can you help us figure that out? And then on the other side of that spectrum is we've interviewed 50 people. We know exactly what we need, but we're just not like able to attract the right person. And so along that spectrum, you'd be providing a different service to clients that have either a better or less evolved understanding of like what they're looking for, or at least what they think they're looking for. And again, our job isn't to force them into one bucket or another, but based on where they are, to be able to help push this thing through to the finish line.
And I like how you kept emphasizing throughout the process what the team they have that's already in place is like, and where they, you know, kind of a needs assessment, you know, looking where they are currently, because I talked to a lot of investors and they emphasize over and over again that part of their decision making around investments is the team and how they all work together, and that there's different components and it's well balanced. And so, you know, I'd really like to hear how well your process aligns with that. I think that would be really beneficial for founders, because adding somebody to the team is so critical, right? To make sure you don't disrupt what's working, but instead add, you know, something that's going to meet your needs and keep the team moving in a productive fashion.
You know, we as a company are only successful when our clients end up making hires. And it's a blessing and a curse for us working with earlier stage companies that, like, working with earlier stage companies and on senior, like VP and above level roles, personality, like it or not, is like an outweighed level of importance, because, you know, these are people that it's not just the airport test or the beers test, but you're going to be spending more time with these people than your wife and kids, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, outside of skill set, it's the only other important thing, frankly, is like, it's not just, are you going to get along with the founder, but executive presence and working with the board and all that other stuff. And so we see that it's true, obviously, the executive level, if you're working with the, you know, senior leadership team, the board and the investors. We also see it candidly a lot with what we call sort of emerging leadership level roles, which is this what we were talking about earlier, director and sort of head of level. A lot of those people are step up leadership candidates that are in this head of department, where they're in the sort of roll up your sleeves and do the work, but you also hopefully someone that has seen the leadership table before, that can be a little bit more of a strategic thinker. And the bet that the company is taking is that they want someone that can not only roll up their sleeves and do the work, but that can also take the leap up into the leadership realm and help with strategic planning and forecasting to own that department of the business. The reason they give them the head of title is because they're not yet sure whether this person is going to be able to make that jump. And so we'll call you head of for the first 6 months or a year. And then based on whether you make the jump or not, we can level you out as, you know, director or VP or what have you. The other reason that emerging leadership level is so important as it comes down to like leadership and personality is that for a lot of people that find themselves in that ambiguously titled head of level, a lot of them are first time leaders that are being given a crack at not just doing the work, but then building out a team underneath them. And so leadership development and the soft skills component for that level, you know, ultimately, if you're going to be a first time manager and you're going to be hiring a bunch of individual contributors, staff level below you, the ripple effect of you being a bad manager is like has an incredible impact on the company, right?
No, I'm really glad you mentioned this, because these are such unique challenges, I think, to startups, because they hire more of these, I like what you call it, emerging leadership type hires and these step-up candidates. And a lot of times when you're reading about these unicorns, they always say, so-and-so founder took a chance on me, right? And it's all the kind of things that you talked about, where personality, jiving with the rest of the team, you know, maybe you haven't had all the leadership experience yet, but there's that belief that you can do it, is so important. And I hear that over and over again with startups. That being said, so we've talked a lot about how important these candidates are. What is the market like for candidates right now? Is it a candidate-driven market, or is it, you know, is it hard to attract? Oh, it is. Okay. Speak to me a little bit about that and what's going on there.
I think that, so a year ago before the pandemic hit, we were seeing maybe 25% of the projects we worked on that were remote, and now that number is inverted, and 75% of the projects we work on are remote, and the rest are in the Bay Area. Not in the Bay Area, but specific to some geography. I don't think that that, I know that that's not an anomaly, that all of my peers in recruiting are also super busy and are also seeing a lot of remote hiring. So ultimately, the thing that I think has been pretty eye-opening is how quickly companies have adopted. And it's not surprising in Silicon Valley that, you know, people move fast and adapt. And so the thing that has happened really fast with this adoption of being virtual is that the candidate pool is now across the country, and top-tier talent is not just getting hit up for companies that are in their territory, but they're getting hit up for opportunities across the country. So the good news is that you have access to a bigger candidate pool if you're hiring remote. The bad news is that every other company is also hiring remote, and so they're going after the same top tier, right? And so the thought and the way that recruiting has evolved is, because I have now a bigger candidate pool to choose from, because I'm hiring across the country, mm-hmm. I should be able to get more specific with my wish list of things that I would like in this candidate, right?
Right. That's what I would think.
Right. I've got 100 times more people to choose from. I'm going to get really picky with what I want.
Yes.
Well, every other company's doing the same thing. And so, like, all of the, you know, the top degrees from these schools or that schools, the shiny logos of other startups that are relevant in your space, it's just the way that it is, right? It's sort of like, you know, we live in this free market economy, and the market is going to sort of find its equilibrium. And so we're seeing, aside from not just, you know, 70 or 75% of our projects being remote, there's been an obvious uptick in the last year of candidates, or the last 6 months, I'm sorry, since the pandemic has sort of normalized, of candidates that have like competing offers like much more regularly than they had previously. And I think that that just is a combination of companies that are all now starting to hire, along with what I was just talking about, which is that like the war for talent is much more now spread equally across the country. And top tier talent aren't applying for jobs, they're getting poached. And so if you're looking for someone that is going to be a combination of, you know, a leader on your team that also has some domain expertise in your space, like, mm-hmm. unless you're a company that doesn't have any competitors, that's like the only company in your vertical, which I find it hard to believe that that's the case, you wouldn't have much competition. So yeah, I mean, our job as recruiters to help navigate that process. We're not magic makers. I can't force a candidate to be interested in a company as like their only, you know, one and only. But what we can do, and what we do really well, is to help work with founders and CEOs to navigate that process, and to help them understand what the market's going to bear and like what is going to lead to the most successful and quickest outcome, so that they don't have to go through all those learnings, because we're doing it, you know, every day.
Good point. And so, what are some tactics that founders can take to win with candidates? Like, are there certain things, like, you know, certain type benefits, or certain, you know, having the story of your company down, or, you know, focusing on telling them about your leadership team or your investors that help them win candidates?
So I think that what we were talking about earlier about how the candidate pool is wider, you can be more specific with what you're looking for, that there's, and this is something that we focus on a lot in like who we're reaching out to and who we're talking to about roles, but more importantly, like why this should be compelling to the candidate. And I think that's the thing that gets lost a lot in the recruiting process in general, but specifically for leadership hiring, when like these people are senior, if they've been successful previously, they're going to have other options, and there needs to be a compelling reason why this is interesting to them. There's always going to be a reason why a company is compelling in general, right? We've got X amount of growth and X amount of revenue. We've got this great traction and these great investors, mm-hmm. but that's not the WIFM. That's not the what's in it for me. Like, why should I as a candidate be interested in this opportunity? And if we're going to go through this process of looking at candidates across the country, for example, like finding people that are going to be compelled to join, not just because you are really excited about your company and how much, you know, how much funding you gotten or how many investors have told you that it's great, but you need to turn that story into something that's going to get the candidate excited, which is largely like tying to them personally. You know, when you think about like the really easy example is domain expertise, but, you know, people want to be made an expert at something. Right. And so it's sort of like painting this picture of why this is a good opportunity for you, why it's a good career move for you. And that has much more to do with like the person than the company, right? Like they need to be made to feel special, right? And it's sort of part of the psychology of recruiting.
That's so interesting to me because we deal with that a lot in marketing, you know, how to message directly to somebody so that they feel special and wanting to choose your product or your service. That's really good insight. So, Jamie, you shared a lot of good insight with us today about, you know, what's happening in the startup market in terms of hiring. Really interesting tips on recruiting process. I really enjoyed having you on. If listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they reach you?
Yeah, my email address is just my first name, Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, at guildtalent.com, G-U-I-L-D talent.com. And hopefully there's a hyperlink or something on Berkland's site or in the blog post or whatever happens
yes.
here.
Absolutely. We'll make it easy for people to get in touch with you. And I'd love to have you on again, maybe in, you know, a few months, and we can talk about how this all shakes out, because it's just the fact that it's flipped so much that, you know, you're seeing 75% of your clients now on remote. I'm very curious to see if that's going to stick as people start to get vaccinated and we get herd immunity and go back to the office.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like I said earlier, it's a giant social experiment and I don't have a crystal ball. I'm just as curious as everyone else what's going to happen. So I'd love to come back on and talk about it for sure, because just like everyone else, I'm along for the ride. It's going to be an interesting next couple years for sure.
It sure has been a ride. Thanks so much, Jamie. It's always good to see you. I will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You've been listening to Startup Success. To make sure you don't miss out on future episodes, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. Like what you hear? Tap the number of stars you think the show deserves in Apple Podcasts. For more tools and resources for your own startup success, check out berklandassociates.com. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.